Heritage Baptist Church, it's good to be home. And this is our second home. My other home's across the Pacific. And my wife always will view this as her home. And we got to spend a few weeks with family. And it's been good to be back at Heritage Baptist Church and to see so many familiar faces, but a lot of new faces. And that's a good thing. To see all the new people that God has brought to our ministry here and to see all that God is doing, it's just fantastic. It really is. I can't wait to tell you a little bit about what God is doing in Hawaii Kai. It's just phenomenal. It really is. We serve a great God. And I'm excited about what God is doing there. And I'm thrilled that God would call me and thrilled that God would call my wife and I to go to this city and start an independent fundamental Baptist church. And God is at work. He really is. And I wish you could all come and see what God is doing there. And we've been serving in Hawaii Kai for a little over 4 years now. And coming up on 5 years as a pastor. And I'm just, wow, time has flown by. But God has been good and God has been gracious in those 5 years, almost 5 years. And I'm looking forward to what God continues to do in Hawaii Kai. We average about 40 on a Sunday morning. And with COVID and everything, I think that's a plus. I think that's awesome. And to God be the glory for that. A few weeks ago, we got to see somebody saved on a Sunday morning. My wife got to lead a young lady to the Lord. And so God, again, is doing the miraculous there in Hawaii Kai. When we started to get ready to go to Hawaii Kai, we started to prepare to plant this church. Many people told us we were crazy for going back to Hawaii to start a church. I tell you this all the time, but just to give you a little bit of a background, we were discouraged to go there. People tried to stop us from going to Hawaii and go to Hawaii Kai. But I said, God has called me there. And if God's called me, God's going to enable me and He's going to equip me and give me exactly what I need to accomplish His will in this great city of Hawaii Kai. And it is nothing short of a miracle to see all that God has been doing there. And I'm thankful for what God has allowed me to be a part of. I'm thankful for what God has allowed our family to be a part of. It's funny, my daughter, as I was getting ready tonight, she says, Dad, how come we can't dress like this every Sunday? And I said, honey, we're not going to be doing that, all right? Daddy kept the receipts for this suit, and it's going back to the store, amen? I'm joking with you, all right? We'll keep it for the next time we come. I got rid of all my suits, I'm telling you. I didn't keep any of the suits. I got rid of all the ties. I got rid of all that stuff. And I went on a rampage buying Aloha shirts, you know what I mean? And so you get with Pastor and tell him every once in a while we got to pull out the Aloha shirts, okay, preacher? But no, it's been good to be back. And I'm excited about what God is doing in Heritage. You guys will always have a special place in our hearts. And I'm thankful for God allowing us to come here. I want to say many years ago, I think 2011 we came here to train under Pastor Edwards. And I got to talk to Pastor Carpenter about that. And phenomenal time with Brother Edwards there training and learning the ministry. But I'm thankful for your pastor. And I was telling him, over the course of a little over 4 years being in Hawaii, the supporting churches, every once in a while, they'll change pastors. A new pastor will come in and assume the pastorate. But when that happens, the pastor evaluates all of the missionaries. And we've been dropped a couple of times where pastors have come in and taken over churches that we've been supported at. But I'm thankful your pastor has decided to stick with us and to continue to support us there in Hawaii Kai. But again, if you have an opportunity to come to visit, come and visit. We'll hang 10 together, all right? The waves are about 30, 40 feet on the North Shore right now. I promise you, you will be safe, okay? I'll take care of you. But no, you come and visit. Maybe we'll get a mission trip going one of these days when COVID is all done and gone. How many of you are thankful that God has given us another year to serve Him? I'm looking forward to 2021. And we look back at 2020 and we say, well, that was a wash. I don't think so at all. I really don't. God ordained it. God set it all in motion. God set it all in play. And I think of all that God has done in our ministry. And I want to be transparent with you. Now, I was a little rattled at first. What, God, what are you doing? We're a tiny church, and we feel the ramifications a lot harder than you do. And people not showing up and people not comfortable. But I'm thankful for 2020 and how it's grown me and how it's brought me closer to the Lord. And I'm looking forward to launching out in 2021 to do even greater things for our God. I'm excited about the message tonight. I'm going to stop talking, and I want to get into the Word of God. And if you have questions about our ministry and you want to find out a little more about what God is doing, come and talk to me after the service. But I want to jump into the Word tonight and take your Bibles, go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 14 in the Old Testament. I promise I will not be long. I have 5 points tonight, 5 points. This morning as I was sitting there, and preacher, he said, I have 6 points to go through. I felt your pain, because when you mention you have 6 points, people give you the stink eye, man. They roll their eyes at you. They start falling asleep. They get their phone out, you know. They start daydreaming, looking at the clock and all those. But I've got 5 points, but I promise I will be quick tonight. And again, hopefully what I share with you and what God has given me will be an encouragement to you. A reclaimed passion. A reclaimed passion. I don't know about you, but in 2020, maybe your passion got sucked dry. Maybe you've got distracted. Maybe you've got detoured. Maybe you got to the point where you're really just on the edge and you don't know if you want to continue moving forward in what God has called you to do. But may we look at the life of Joshua and Caleb and may we be reclaimed in our passion. May our passion come back and may our fervor come back to do great and mighty things for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says there in verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Aren't you thankful for that phrase there? But I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's what God's looking for tonight for us as Christians, for us as saved folks, to wholly follow the Lord God with all of our hearts. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. What is he saying there? And I was a young guy when Moses commissioned us to go spy out the land, but I'm an old man now. But my fervor and my passion to serve God with my whole heart, it's still there. I'm still excited to be used of God. And if God said to go out and it's battle time, I'm ready. Put me on the front line. I'm ready to serve God with all I've got. Man, his passion was there. It did not waver. It did not falter. You see, our wholehearted obedience will lead us to an undeniable passion for our God. I challenge us this evening as we jump into the message, wholeheartedly obey God. Wholeheartedly submit your life to the Lord and keep that passion on fire for God. Don't let it go out. I think of the years that God has allowed us to be at Heritage Baptist Church and the fervor that I've got to experience here and the passion of ministry and the passion to reach souls and the passion to plant churches. Man, it's contagious, is it not? But the last year, we look at it and say, you know what? I don't know if I'm on fire for God as I was before 2020. If you are not passionate for God at this very moment, you will miss out on all the great things that God has in store for you in 2021. I want to jump into the message, but before we do that, let's ask God to bless this time together. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us. What a great God you are. You're such a good, good Father. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach your inerrant, infallible word. God, I'm so thankful that it's powerful and sharp and quicker than any two-edged sword. God, I'm thankful for this church and how it's rallied behind my wife and I to go to Hawaii Kai to plant this church, and that means the world to us. Thankful for the pastor, Pastor Carpenter. God, I'm thankful for his vision and his passion to continue to press forward in getting more churches started. Thank you for his friendship and his encouragement to me. And God, I pray that you continue to give this church many, many more years of ministry and influence and impact in this community. God, may this church be the lighthouse that you've called it to be. But God, as we meet tonight under your word, I pray that you'd meet us in a mighty way, God. I pray that you'd meet us in a special way, God. Give us exactly what we need. God, I pray that you challenge us this evening. I pray that you change us and shape and mold us into the very Christian that you desire us to be. God, I pray that we'd be that clay in that potter's hand. God, I pray that after everything is said and done, that we would leave different than when we came. And God, most of all, that you would get all the glory and honor because you're worthy. And God, I pray all this in your son's precious name. Amen. Remember the day you got saved? Remember it? I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm getting old now. I just had my 36th birthday. Can you believe that? I'm getting old. Somebody said, you got gray in your beard. Hey, that's wisdom right there, brother. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. My kids are always pointing it out. But I'm 36 years of age. I remember when I was an 11-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I've never been the same since. And I remember that excitement. I remember that fervor. And I remember that passion, me putting and placing my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And can I tell you this? My life has never been the same since. But through those years, I can tell you this, that the passion has come and gone. The excitement to serve God has come and gone. Just being transparent and real with you. And yes, there's been certain circumstances that come into life and kind of rattle you and kind of shake you up and maybe get you off track where you need to be with regards to your fervor and your love for God. But one of my favorite Bible characters in the Old Testament is this man named Caleb. What an unbelievable man. What an unbelievable man that had a tremendous desire and a love and a passion for his Lord. And he was ready to go whenever God said to go. And his passion was there to serve God with everything he had, to go out there and see lives changed and transformed. I remember when Moses commissioned the men to go spy out the land. You remember that in Numbers chapter 13? Moses told the men, go spy out the land. God has given us the land. Go spy it out. I want to see what we're getting into. I want to see what we're going to come up against. Go spy out the land. And some of you have heard this story before. I've heard it many times. Well, what's such truth in this passage? But if you were to look at Numbers 13, you'd see the latter part of that chapter and you see those men come back with different perspectives, different views on what God had for them. I can remember them coming back, right? You know the song. Can you tell me? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember that when you were growing up in the classroom? But I love Joshua and I love Caleb. I see there in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Was he trusting in his own ability? Was he trusting in his own intellect or what he had experienced in life? No, he was trusting in an almighty power for God. And he saw God do it in the past and he knew God was going to do it then. Man, that passion was still there. And I'm telling you, God did it in 2019, God did it in 2020, and he's going to do it in 2021, whether you like it or not. Where's your passion at? Are you excited about the ministry? Are you excited about what God wants to do? We're in transition right now in our building. We're looking at getting out of our building and moving into another location so we can launch out and continue to do greater things for God. But I'm excited about that. I can't wait to go back and land in Hawaii and be with our church again and encourage them to continue to press forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about 2021. But these men, they came back with this negative report. Two were positive. The perspective, man, that's important, is it not? It's important to have the right perspective in life. Because your perspective will change your passions. Your perspective in life will change your heart. You'll look at the surrounding environment and you'll say, wow, what's going on? And your passion will start to dwindle out. Your flame, that fire that you had for God will start to go away. Have the right perspective in life. If God did it in the past, he wants to do it in the future. And so we see there was great consequence for their negative perspective. And their lack of faith and trust in God. But I'm thankful for the two. Joshua and Caleb. What men of God. And I want to thank you that you've been here. Those of you that have been here from the beginning. Or those of you that have been here many years. I know Brother Cormican was up here a few last Sunday night. And he was talking about all the men that were here. In the early stages of Heritage. And I look across the room. And I still see some of the same men that were here tonight, that were here when we first started. That's encouraging to me. And you know what tells me? That you still got passion for God. You still got fervor for the Lord. And for those of us that are younger, we got to catch that. We've got to catch that. Because God's got some great things in store. And we better not fall asleep. I want to encourage you with this. I heard a preacher say it. He said, do it with passion or not at all. Do it with passion or not at all. Come to church with a passion to know more about God. Come to outreach and have a passion to say, you know what, Lord, use me to reach somebody for you. Get on the bus route and have a passion to reach those children for the Lord. One of the greatest ministries that I got to be involved with while I was here was the bus ministry. It was awesome. Brother Baker drove for us. It was me, Dan, and my wife and some other folks on the bus. And was it awesome? But I'm telling you, love ministry. Love serving Jesus. Have a passion for Him that you've never had before. But do it with passion or not at all. What are you passionate about tonight? What are you passionate about tonight? Well, I'm passionate about my wife. It's a good thing. Passionate about my wife. And I've got the hots for her. We just celebrated 10 years of ministry. Can you believe that? 10 years. She stuck with me this long. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. I'm telling you. My father-in-law shaking, he said, I should have never done it. I should have never given him permission. But I'm passionate about my wife. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about our church, High Point Baptist Church. I'm passionate about Heritage. I love Heritage. I want Heritage to continue to do great things for God. I'm passionate about a lot of things. But all of that, God should be the most that I'm passionate about. I should be passionate about God the most. He should be number one. And I look at Joshua and Caleb and I said, how were they able to be so steadfast and unmovable in their walk with God? It's because they had an undying love and a desire and a passion for their God. I want to look at five passions tonight. I want to encourage you in this. Through the life of Joshua and Caleb, and as we look at their life, these are where these passions come from. You ready? Very simple, very elementary tonight. Number one, we see a passion to know God. A passion to know God. Joshua knew the importance of walking with and knowing God. So did Caleb. Man, I have to know God. I have to know more about Him. I have to have a deeper, more personal walk with God than I had the day before. And hopefully you are progressing in your walk with God. Hopefully you're not stagnant in your walk with God and that you are growing and you're knowing more about God. I just talked a little bit ago. I've been married to my wife for 10 years and I'm still learning about my wife. But you ought to have this evening a passion to know God. Maybe you've got sidetracked. Maybe you've got distracted last year. But this year's a new year and may you endeavor and may you embark on a journey to know God and have a passion that you've never had a passion like before. Know God. Walk with Him. I love what Joshua wrote in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of what? Thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If I'm going to be a successful Christian in 2021, I have to know my God. I have to know Him. I have to deeply know Him, not this surface Christianity. Man, I got to deeply walk with God. I got to know more about Him. And I got to desire that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes to the Philippian church, Philippi, he says, that I may what? Know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death. Let me tell you this tonight. Let me remind you that your walk with God ought to be intimate. It ought to be personal. You know why? Because God knows you. God has given up some time to know you. You know God wants to spend time with you? That just blows me. That God wants to spend time with me. Why do you want to spend time with me, God? Raphael, just be quiet and let me want to spend time with you. You ought to desire the same thing with God. God, I want to walk with you and I want to talk with you. And I want to know more about you. You see, your passion to know God should drive you to hunger and thirst after His Word. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Where would we be tonight if it weren't for the Word of God in 2020? I'm thankful I have it. But 2020 has given me a stronger desire and a thirst for the Word of God. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul what? Thirsteth for thee. Do you have a passion to know God tonight? I want you to walk out of these doors saying, God, I want to know you on a deeper level. God, I want to know you on a more personal level. And you know what? Don't take this in a negative way. I don't care how long you've been saved. If you're not in your Bible the way you should be, you should walk out of these doors tonight and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to know you on a deeper level. And your word is precious. And God, give me a thirst and a hunger for it. And give me a longing for it. So a passion to know God. We see that very clear in the life of Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to know God and they wanted to get closer to God so they could be more successful for their God. But number two, we see in their life a passion to obey God. A passion to obey God. If you look at our text verse there in Joshua chapter number 14, verse 8, you see, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Don't you want your life to end and you're standing there before the Lord and the Lord says you did everything with your whole heart? You obeyed wholeheartedly. Or you're laying there on your deathbed and you're saying, you know what? I have no regrets. I gave it all to God. I obeyed everything He told me to do. So have a passion tonight to obey the Lord. Joshua and Caleb saw difficulties day in and day out. They saw difficulties right in front of their face. They saw obstacles. They saw giants. But they understood if God said to do it, they were to do it. When I was growing up in high school, me and my brother and my sisters, we were always made fun of by pastor there. We were always the sottos that gave an excuse. It stunk. My mom was the secretary. So whenever we got in trouble, we went to the office and my mom was there. And so my mom would ask us what we did wrong. And I would say, oh, mom, it wasn't my fault. It was so-and-so's fault. Then the administrator would come in and they say, what happened? And I would blame it on somebody else. I would blame it on the teacher because, of course, I never do anything wrong, right? God doesn't like excuses. God doesn't like excuses. He doesn't want to hear why you can't do it. Because God knows you can't do it. But with His power and His strength, you can do it. Joshua 1:7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, he says. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Jeremiah 7:23 says this, but this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice. When God speaks, you move. When God talks and God's telling you to do something and when God commissions you to go do something, you ought to move. There's no questioning. There's no debating God. My kids are at their age where you tell them to do something and they want to start questioning. But Dad, but Mom, but this, but that. No, I spoke. I want you to move. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, I want you to have a passion to obey me. And a love so deep for me that when I speak, you move. Because God knows best. God knows best. I was talking to a pastor this past week and he was giving the testimony of how God called me to Hawaii. I argued with God for a long period of time about why I didn't want to go to Hawaii. You ask my wife. I debated with it for a long time. But I had to finally say, you know what? If God's calling me, I better stop arguing with Him. And I better just go because I'm going to miss out on something. So have a passion to obey God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to what? Be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust Him. Have a passion tonight to wholly follow the Lord your God. And may 2021 give you a clean slate to say, you know what, God? I've messed up in 2020. I gave excuses on why we couldn't get things done, or why we couldn't grow the church, or why we couldn't be used in a mighty way. God, I've given you excuses, and I did not obey wholeheartedly, but 2021, I'm going to have a passion to obey you. So we see a passion to know God. We see a passion to obey God. We see a passion to fear God. A passion to fear the Lord. Joshua and Caleb had a healthy fear of God. I think that's the problem with society today. And a lot of Christians, is we do not fear the Lord God. We don't fear Him the way we ought to. We don't revere Him the way that we should. Psalm 12:11 says this, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You see, tonight we can't live as if there's no God. There is a God, and He's on the throne, and He's always been on the throne, and He's in control, and He's working at this very moment. But we ought not come to the point where we don't fear God like we should. There is a God, and we will give an account. So we must live every day. We must make every breath count for our Lord. A.W. Tozer said this, "When men no longer fear God, they transgress His laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone." I want the blessing of God on my life and on my ministry. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless Kai Point Baptist Church. But that will only happen if I have a fear and a respect and a reverence for our almighty, powerful God. Fear God tonight. He is the one true God. And He is worthy of your worship and praise and adoration. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments." We have a young church, a lot of baby Christians. And so we're dealing with these young Christians and we're trying to teach them to fear God and to honor God and obey God with their life. But many of them are younger in their faith and they still have that attitude where they can do whatever they want to do. They can live however they want to live. And we're working with that. We're teaching them that. They're growing. Praise God for that. But if you're older in your faith and you're older in your walk, are you fearing God like you should? Do you have a passion when it comes to fearing the Lord? Fear God tonight. Let's move on this evening. Number four, we see that Joshua and Caleb, they had a passion to honor God. How do you view God this evening? Is He everything to you? Is it all about God or is it all about you? Preacher, I can tell you in 2020, sometimes it wasn't all about God with me. I was a little selfish. God, what are you doing in all of this? We're just a young church plant. Why are you ruffling my feathers, Lord? God, here we are moving forward. We're seeing growth and we're seeing lives change. We're seeing people saved, baptized, joining the church, discipled. And then all of a sudden you want to bring this? There were times in my spirit that I didn't honor the Lord. Got a little upset at times. But it's not all about me. It's about God. And it's about us honoring God and giving Him glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore what?" Help me out. Glorify. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1? He says there, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord," what? "Sitting upon a throne," what? "High and lifted up." The reason that we don't view God high and lifted up is because we've removed God from His place and put ourselves up there. Get what I'm saying? Take yourself down from that spot and put God right back where He deserves to be. Honor Him. Have a passion to honor God every single day with your family. Being a parent is a scary thing. And I'm just getting started on this. I have 4 kids, 6 and under. Yeah. What were you thinking, right? I don't know what I was thinking. But praise the Lord, they're all going to be gone at the same time. Amen? Get what I'm saying? They don't have no idea what I'm saying back there. They're just hoping Dad hurries up so we can go to Red Robin. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Come on now. Got me some Chick-fil-A, some Chipotle. I got it all while I was here. But we ought to have a passion to honor God. Our desire should be to lift up the name of Jesus in our home. Now, what a responsibility that is, huh, Mom and Dad? To have a passion to honor God in the home. I love my wife so much. I love her passion to teach our kids the Word of God. Praying with our kids every night. Teaching them Bible verses. You know, she's the children's director. My kids will come home singing songs, quoting verses. And it's my wife having a passion to honor God by teaching young people the Word of God. But man, we ought to honor God in our homes. What about our neighborhoods? Who did we reach in 2020 that was our next door neighbor? The guy to the right, did you talk to him about the Lord last year? Or every time you talked to him, did you talk to him about how horrible it is that we got to wear masks? I made it a rule in our church, preacher, you're not allowed to talk about COVID, and you're not allowed to talk about all the negativity that surrounds COVID. You just got to stop. People would come in and they would just talk about it and it would dampen the spirit. We're here to worship the Lord, right? We're here to honor Jesus. And I just lightly at the pulpit, I said, hey, when we come to church, none of this COVID stuff. I'm tired of it. I want to come to church and worship Jesus. We're here to honor Him. Amen. So in our neighborhoods, what about our workplace? I really think this, myself included, our church included, I think we missed tremendous opportunity to take advantage of what God is doing, to bring many people to Him. But we've got sidetracked. The church missed out. When we didn't talk about God enough in the workplace last year, we didn't talk about God in our neighborhood enough or in our churches. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of our great God. Everything you do ought to be to the honor and glory of God. Do you have a passion tonight to honor God? Or do you need to reclaim that? Do you need to get that back? I got through these pretty quick. Number five, you ready? A passion to please God. A passion to please the Lord. By studying the life of Joshua and Caleb, and you can do that on your own time more in depth, but you understand their life was all about one thing and one thing only, and that was to please their God. They weren't in it for themselves. They weren't in it for the accolades, for the recognition. They weren't in it for the high fives from their fellow comrades. They were in it to please God and God alone. You have a choice tonight. To please God or to please what? Yourself. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't know when it was, but there was a young man that stood up here and he just finished discipleship. That's awesome. We do discipleship at our church too. Continue. I love it. I think it's phenomenal that you guys do that here. It's great. But there was a young man up here that had just finished discipleship, and there were two other men with him. I'm thankful for the testimonies of the men and then also the young man that gave his testimony. But those two men that came up and gave testimony about how God had used it in their life to help another Christian. And we could say that was a great job on their part. Man, they jumped in and they came alongside this young man and they helped disciple him. Great, man. Let's give him a high five. But you could tell by their spirit and their testimony that it wasn't about them. It was about God. About pleasing God. I want to please God. I want the end of my life when I meet the Lord for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And maybe you need to reclaim that passion where it's all about pleasing God and not pleasing yourself. Joshua and Caleb had experienced bondage and slavery in Egypt for many years. They saw the turmoil and agony, but they also experienced deliverance and freedom. God had changed their path and gave them a new purpose. It stirred a passion in them of unwavering obedience. They lived to carry out God's purpose, not just with a mediocre mindset, but one with fervor and passion until the day they died. If you're not passionate about the things of God, you're just wasting your time. Well, that was mean. If you're not passionate about reaching people for Jesus, you're just wasting your time. If you're not passionate about growing in your walk with God, then you're just wasting your time. If you're not passionate about obeying God wholeheartedly, you're definitely wasting your time. Because we understand that partial obedience is disobedience. Joshua chapter 14, our text passage, verse 13, this is what it says. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Can you imagine with me what they've been going through? They're finally there. They're finally where God had promised them that they would be. And here Caleb is, getting his part of the promised land, getting his inheritance for being faithful and passionate for his God. If you're not passionate in those five areas, you're going to miss out on the blessings and inheritance that God so wants to give to you. So in 2021, we have an opportunity to reclaim our passion for God, to know God, to wholeheartedly obey God, to fear the Lord, to honor Him, and to please Him. You ready for that? Let's have a passion to please God. And let's not waste His time, and let's not waste our time. Let's get it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we love You. We're thankful again for what You've done for us. You're so good. And thank You again for this brief time in Your Word where we've got to study the lives of Joshua and Caleb. Caleb in particular. This man that started out with a passion for You and is ending his life with an even greater passion to serve You. And God, if we were all honest with ourselves this evening and with You, we could all say that our passion needs to be reclaimed. God, my passion in certain areas needs to be reclaimed for You. My fervor, my desire to please You more needs to be there. But God, we could all grow in our walk with You and all say that we could be a little more passionate for the work that You've placed us in. With your head bowed and your eyes closed tonight, I want to ask this question. How many of you can say, Pastor, my passion for God has waned. My passion for God is not where it needs to be. I'm not desiring to know Him like I should, and I'm not obeying Him like I should, and I know I don't fear Him like I should, or maybe you don't honor Him like you should, or you're not pleasing Him like you should. But you can honestly say tonight that you need to have a greater passion in one of these areas. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that, say, I need to have a greater passion for God. One of these areas. Hands all over the room. I'm going to ask you to stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. And as the piano plays, I want you to do this. I want you right there at your seat. Or you can come down to the altar. And you can ask God to reignite that passion for Him. You come and you get it right with God. Let's start off 2021 the right way. And let's reclaim that passion for our great God. You come.